Well, it's good to see everyone's smiling faces this morning. It's good to be in church, and it feels like winter out there. Any winter fans? I'm surprised anyone raised their hands. I was expecting to get booed off the stage when I asked if anyone liked winter. It's not a popular season. I feel bad for winter. No one likes it. It's not a popular season. Any fall fans? Like the fall? See, everyone likes fall. No one likes winter. Poor old winter. I love fall, and I even kind of love winter, you know, because there's certain things that take place in winter that don't happen any other time of the year, right? Like, you can't get snowed in August, right? It's got to be winter to get snowed in. And, I mean, maybe some people hate that, but it's kind of cool to be, like, landlocked for a day or two. You can't do anything but sit at home and drink coffee and do whatever you sled, snow sled or whatever. Can't get snowed in unless it's winter. You can't go skiing unless it's winter. And maybe I'm the only one here that likes skiing, but I like to ski. And most importantly, you can't have Christmas unless it's winter. Can I get an amen? Of course, unless you live in the Southern Hemisphere, then it's not winter when it's Christmas. So thank you. You're too kind. Yeah, it feels good. It's refreshing to wake up and it's 40 degrees. It's nice. I put on my puffy coat this morning. My puffy coat. And so the Mountaineers lost last night. That stinks, right? I think they were trying to lose for a while. I mean, don't act too surprised. I mean, they were trying to lose last week and didn't, so they were successful. Last week they tried to fail and failed at failing. And then so today they totally failed. But yesterday, sorry. I'm going to stick to preaching, okay? So Pastor Luke asked me today to speak on our values as a church, the values that we have. And we talked about that at the beginning of the year. And we're just going to kind of refresh on those this morning. And so really the whole concept of values is simple. And whether you know it or not, you probably even have values in your household or in your family. Maybe if you have kids, you've found yourself at some point saying something along the lines of, no hitting, we don't hit in this household. We love each other, okay? You had to say that to your kids at some point. Or maybe if you're a kid, you've heard your mother say that to you. Or maybe, you know, no biting, we don't bite in this household, we love each other. No spitting, we don't spit on each other, we love each other. I'm sure you've heard things like that. And, you know, really that's just a way that you know, as a parent, you're shaping the culture and you're shaping the behavior in your family. I can remember always being told growing up, you know, if you're not going to say anything nice, don't say anything at all. And I can still hear my mother saying that when I even say that now. If you're not going to say anything nice, don't say, you know, that. But when we're saying things like that in your family, you're shaping the culture and the behavior in your family. You're saying, hey, you know, we don't hit each other. We don't say mean things about each other. We love each other in this family. And it's a way that we put up guardrails and kind of just shape that culture. So it's the same in our church family, just like it is in maybe your family at home. It's the same in our church family here, that we have set in place some values that shape our culture. It shape the way we act as a church, how we behave individually and even as a whole. It shapes and directs our behavior. So I was just going to kind of re-hit all those values that Pastor Luke set in place at the beginning of the year, but here's our value. So maybe if you weren't here a couple months ago, whenever we did that, then maybe you'll hear this for the first time, or maybe you remember all these from a few months ago. But we have five values at our church, and they are: we love, we give, we go, we serve, and we believe. So I'll talk about one of those today. But just to recap, we love. Right, that Jesus laid down his life for others, we will too. I mean, 1 Corinthians 13, right? Without love, it's all meaningless. And if we're not operating in love as a church, as an individual, that everything we could put our hand to could actually be a waste of time. Everything we put our hand to, you know, we might as well just shut up because it's just a clashing cymbal. It's just noise. It doesn't change anyone's hearts. It doesn't minister to anybody. It's just a lot of clanging noise. So we love at our church. You know, Jesus says that the world will know that you're my disciples for your love, by your love for one another. That is how the world will see us and say, man, they're disciples. They serve Jesus. So when people look at us, they should know that, right? And it should be like, man, I want what they have. The way that they talk about each other, the way that they treat each other, they love each other. I want to be in that family. I want to be a part of what they have. So the way we talk to each other, you know, the way we interact, the way we build each other up, man, we love. We have to operate in love, period. If we're not operating in love, you know, everything we do would be meaningless. So we love, we give. We spent a long series called Prosper. We talked about, we kind of hit giving in that. And I mean, we hit giving every Sunday. But we're generous people here at Center Branch, right? That Jesus gave his best, so we'll give our best. That we're not looking for opportunities to be stingy. We're not looking for opportunities to hold things back. In fact, we're looking for opportunities to give. We're looking for opportunities. Like, how can I be a blessing to someone? You know, how can I bless the Lord? How can I bless my brother or sister in Christ? That we're givers. We have a spirit of giving within us. We just, it stirs up. I mean, we are excited to give. It's better to give than to receive. We're just looking for places to give. So we give and we go. You know, we fulfill the Great Commission, right? That Jesus left the 99 to seek after the one that was lost. So we're going to do that. He was our example. So we'll do that. We're not content to come to church, sit in a pew, go home, and never share the good news with anyone. We're not content to do that. That's not our call. Our call is to fulfill the Great Commission, to go unto all the world and preach the good news. So we're going to go into our workplaces. We're going to go into our schools. We're going to go into our neighborhoods, and we're going to share the love of Christ. We're going to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we love, we give, we go. We do events all the time, right? We set up a tent in the middle of a parking lot somewhere, and you know, we're people that go. And we serve. Jesus washed feet, so we will too. You know, when it comes to Jesus' life, there was nothing that was too low for him. There was nothing that Jesus was like, oh, not foot washing, please. No, no way. No, when Jesus sees a need, he did it, right? He saw dirty feet and people that were too prideful to take care of it. So Jesus says, all right, I'll do it. Got on his knees, started washing feet. So we are people that serve. We serve our community. We serve our church. We serve the Lord with joy. We're people that serve. And then lastly, we believe. We believe Jesus did impossible things. We will do impossible things. That we are people of faith. That we take the word of God as what it is. That we don't read the word of God, leave this place, and forget about it. No, we get it in our spirits. We're a people that we see what God wants us to see. We do what God wants us to do. Amen. We're people that we believe. We're people of faith. So those are the values in our church that help to shape and kind of guide us and shape our behavior, shape our culture. And so this is important stuff to talk about. But today, I'm going to just focus on one of those values, and I'll focus on our value of serving, that we serve. We are people that serve. So before we get into it, though, let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit, man, just to speak to us afresh this morning. So dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word, Father, that it never comes back empty-handed. God, when you send it out, it always accomplishes the mission it's supposed to accomplish. So this morning, Father, I thank you that we have eyes to see and ears to hear, and God, a heart that's soft and ready to receive what you want to speak to us this morning, Father. God, I speak to this environment. I speak to this place. God, I speak faith in this room this morning. God, I speak excitement. God, anticipation, Father, that you would do a new thing. God, I thank you that your mercies are new each morning, that you want to do something new. Not something you did yesterday or last week. God, today you're going to give us our daily bread, what we need for today, Father. So I thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 25. This service I remembered to bring my Bible up here. Last service I forgot. I got it this time. Matthew 25, we'll start in verse 14. One of our values should be we bring our Bibles to church. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14, says this. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by a story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money, earning five more. The servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he has entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, "Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, and so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I've earned two more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Verse 24, then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." Verse 26, but the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I had harvested where I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they have been given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But to those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the utter darkness, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Those who use well what they have been given, even more will be given to them. So this is a parable with three servants, okay? Three people that serve, kind of like you and me. We're people that serve, amen? We're three people. So there's these three servants, three people that serve, and these three servants have a master, kind of like us, right? We have God. God's our master. So there's these people that serve and their master. And so this master leaves on a trip, and he entrusts things to these different servants. Maybe your Bible would say talents. Okay, mine, like I read from the NLT, it says bags of silver. So this master entrusted certain amounts of money to these different servants. The first one got, what, five? Second one got 10. And the last one got one. And now, this one that just had one, what happens there? It says that he took it and he hid it, right? And the other two invested it and they made more. So when you invest money, a few observations from that passage. Remember how it kept saying they invested it? They invested the five bags, they invested the two bags. When we're talking about investing, What is investing? For those that maybe you invest financially and stuff, you know that when you're investing, you're giving it away, right? That if you're going to invest money, you don't keep the money. You have to give it to someone, to a company, whatever you're going to invest in. You have to give that money away if you're going to invest that money. And when you do so, maybe you say an example of a mutual fund or something. You invest money in that mutual fund. It sits there for years, and guess what happens? It doubles, it triples, it quadruples, and it multiplies, right? That's how it works. So when you're investing, you're giving it away, and it'll multiply. But the one servant that took the one bag of silver and hid it, it got taken away from him. That when you don't use it, you lose it. It's like, everyone knows that saying, you don't use it, you lose it. But even, when it comes to money, if I gave you a $100 bill and you dug a hole and buried it, or you went in your basement and hid it in the rafters somewhere, 20 years later, that's not worth $100 anymore, is it? money depreciates, inflation, stuff like that. That actually, you're losing money. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm gonna save it somewhere, I'm gonna put it away. Actually, you're just losing money. So when you don't use something, you lose. And at the end of this parable, that last servant that didn't use well what was given to him was actually given to someone else. That it was pulled from him and it was given to the one that made much of what had been given of him. So here's the thing. This morning I want to talk about your talents. Not the word talents, like when it means money in that passage, but your gifts and your talents, the things that God has placed within you, the gifts, the talents that God's given you, the things that he has entrusted to you. That's what I want to talk about this morning, and I want to ask you a simple question. How are you using it? How are you using the bags of silver that God has placed in your life, the gifts, the talents? How are you using them? Are you giving them away? Because here's the thing. When you hold on to something, you lose it. When you don't use the gifts, the talents that God has given you, they end up going away. But the ones that freely give, what does it say there in verse 29? It says, to those who use well what they've been given, even more will be given to them, and they will have an abundance. Who's ever heard of a guy named Bernie Madoff? Name ring a bell? So this guy was a big-time investor guy. That's my way of saying, I don't know. He was a big investor guy, okay? He was important. He was some important guy, okay? And he was in charge of $50 billion with a B. Okay, this guy started to gain popularity that he was known as like this genius, this financial genius, that when people were investing in his organization, their money was like doubling, tripling so fast. And so everyone kind of jumped on the bandwagon of investing with Bernie Madoff. And, you know, his firm just got huge and huge and huge and huge and huge. But he wasn't actually making money. What was going on is when someone would come and invest money with him, he'd put it in a bank somewhere. And he wasn't actually giving it away. He wasn't actually investing it anywhere. And so when people went to pull money out, he was like, oh, shoot, I got to make this look good. So he would take someone else's money that had invested in his company and just give it to this person as well. So that, you know, they it looks like they had a lot of money, but really he was just, you know, shifting around who got what money. And he wasn't actually making any money. So this went on for a while and it seemed good. And everyone was like, this guy's a genius, financial wizard. But near the end, when people started catching on that he wasn't actually a genius, he was actually not making any money, the last group of people that went to pull their money back out, there was nothing left. There was $0 left in that account. And so guess what? Today, no one trusts Bernie Madoff with a penny, right? As I'm talking about him, you're not like, oh, yeah, that guy. I'm going to go find him down and give him my entire retirement savings plan. And he's going to, no one entrusts him with a dime anymore. And in fact, he's still on home arrest with a little ankle bracelet on, sitting at home. He's not doing anything. And so at some point, you know, this guy, Bernie Madoff, he was too afraid or too lazy to give it away. Right? He had a lot of money that had been entrusted to him, a lot of things, and so his whole empire collapsed, and so did, you know, the retirements of plenty of people in the United States. No one trusts that guy with a penny anymore. Luke 6:38 says this, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is a verse that we hear all the time, maybe during offering, you know, talks, when we're receiving tithes and offerings, and that applies, but this verse doesn't just apply to money, it applies to giving in general. And so like your gifts, your talents, the things that God has entrusted to you, the amount in which you're using it, it will be measured back to you. The amount in which you're pouring it out, you're giving it away, it'll come back to you. But if the amount is none, you're not going to get anything back, right? If the amount is zero, the amount in which you use, it'll be given back to you. So that gift you have, that talent, those things that God has placed within you, do you want them to grow? Do you want them to increase, anybody? Do you say, I want God to use me in greater ways? I want God to do bigger things in my life? And hopefully that's our heart's desire for many of us. You got to use it. You got to give it away. You want it to increase. You want it to grow. The measure in which you use, the amount in which you're using, it'll be added back to you. Amen. Now, I believe that, you know, God is looking over the bags of silver he's handed us all. Just like those servants in that parable, that God has given us all bags of silver, things he's entrusted into our care, and he's looking over those things. He's checking up on us every now and again. And he's looking for someone that he would say, you know what, that person, I can give them more. They're using well what I've given them. So you know what? I'm going to start giving them bags of silver. I'm going to start handing more and more into their care because they've been faithful. They've used what I've given them well. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be that kind of guy that when God's looking for someone to pour more onto, to give more and more and more to, I want to be that person that, you know, I'm eligible for that promotion. I'm eligible that when, you know, God is looking to pour out more, you know, more gifting, more anointing, more whatever it is, that I'm eligible for that. And so the way we do that is, man, we got to give it away. We can't hold back our giftings, our talents. We have to use them. Romans 12, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 12. Romans 12, we'll start in verse 4. We all have gifts God has given us, every single person in this room. You've been entrusted with some form of a bag of silver, that God's put things in your life, gifts, talents. Romans 12, verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in his generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, cheerfully. So like I said, we are all gifted. Everyone in this room, you have been given a gifting by God. And you know, we say in Growth Track all the time, everyone is a 10 in some area. That there is something that you do that no one else can do like you do. I tell it to the youth sometime, that you're the best you that has ever lived on the face of this earth, right? Like, to point someone out, Luke, there is not a better Luke Randolph on the face of this earth than Luke Randolph, right? I mean, there's certain things that if he doesn't do, only he can do those things, that he's anointed by God with a very specific, very, very specific gifting and talent gifts that he can only do the things that God's placed within him to do. And so let's not get stuck in the trap of like, well, their gift's more important, that person over there, they're doing greater things. You know, not everyone's called to preach. Not everyone's called to be an evangelist. Not everyone's called to lead worship. Not everyone's called to do the big things up front. But I promise you this, and God's word says so, we have all been given gifts according to the grace that's within us. Here's what's important. Find out what it is and use it. That's what matters. Find out, man, what is that gift that God's given me? What is that thing that I'm a 10 at? What is that thing that I can only do it the way I can do it? What is that thing? Find it and begin to use it. Begin to use it. Because, you know, we can be the most talented, the most gifted people on the face of the planet. There could be people in this room that are so gifted, that are so talented. But here's the thing. Here's what makes a difference between people making huge impact and making very little impact. How are they stewarding it? Are they giving it away? Are they using it? With the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. How are you using those things that God has gifted you? So I want our church to be, you know, a church full of people that we don't end up finding ourselves in the category of, well, you know, God gave me a lot and I was gifted and talented, but I didn't really do much with it. No, you know, it's not even in my notes, but I believe it's Luke 12:48. To whom much is given, much is expected. That God, man, God's put a bag of silver in your hand, and he expects to see that grow, to use that more. Who much is given, much is expected. So we're talking about serving this morning, how we're people that serve, that we use our gifts, we give of ourselves. But sometimes when someone like myself is up here talking about serving, giving of ourselves, sometimes we can almost kind of get afraid and be like, well, I don't wanna burn myself out, you know. And I don't wanna do too much. I wanna make sure that I don't get stuck in a bad spot and we can kind of get afraid of like, I don't wanna overdo it or something, you know, something like that. And you know, and that's, I know that maybe some of us are even thinking that in this room right now. And I would say there was a point in my life where I thought that, you know, like I don't wanna burn out, I don't wanna go too crazy here. But what I've learned and what God's been showing me is the kingdom of God works differently than that. The kingdom of God doesn't work that way. And in fact, when you get this passage, Proverbs 11:25. Take a moment, just talk about this passage. Proverbs 11:25. I'm going to read it in three different translations and kind of help us get a better picture of what this verse is saying. But in the ISV, it says, "A generous person will prosper, and anyone who gives water will receive a flood in return." This is a different translation, the J-U-B. I don't even know what that means, but it's the J-U-B. The soul who is a blessing, actually this is a very literal translation, very close to the Hebrew. It says, "The soul who is a blessing unto others shall be made fat, and he that fills shall be filled himself." He that fills, man, he'll be filled himself. And maybe the way that you know this passage is how the NIV reads it. Can you get the NIV up there? It says, "The generous person," is that up there, the NIV? There it is. "The generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." Maybe, have you heard that before? Those who refresh others, who's heard that before? Those who refresh others, right? It's a passage you've probably heard before many times, maybe heard preached or spoken before. "He that refreshes others will himself be refreshed." And this is a good reminder even for myself, because I used to have this mentality, and maybe you've had this mentality, where we almost like label different events in our calendar as, this will be an event that I'll get refreshed. But over here, this will be an event that I'm refreshing someone else. And I'm gonna pour out, you know, like for myself, you know, oh, it's Sunday morning, I'm gonna pour out. You know, or it's Wednesday night, that's my time, I'm gonna refresh others. But then this event over here, this week, this meeting, this thing, that's when I'll get refreshed. But it's not an either or, church. It's not one or the other. Actually, it's a both and. That when you refresh someone else, the Bible promises that you yourself will get refreshed. That if you make it your business, I'm going to fill someone else up, God will make sure that you get a flood in return. That you'll always stay filled all the days of your life. That's good news, isn't it? That serving becomes something that you get excited about. Not, well, I'm going to pour out and I'm going to really get burnt out during this time. No way. That's not how it works, church. That if you make it your business, I'm going to refresh someone else, God will make sure that you're always refreshed and full of life and full of zeal all the days of your life. And so I think what a mistake that maybe people can make is, well, I feel like I'm kind of getting burnt out. And I feel like I need to maybe step back. I've been doing a lot lately. I've been serving and I've been, you know, doing good things, but I feel like I need to just take a step back lately because, you know, I don't want to overwork myself and get burnt out. But here's the thing, church, is the second you stop pouring out, that's when you're going to get all dried up. The second you say, you know what, I'm just going to take a break here, that's when you're going to get dried up. And, I could tell many stories of people that would come and say, hey, I need to back out. I need to take a break from serving. I need to stop doing that because I'm going to get burnt out. You know what almost always happens? You stop seeing them. They stop coming, you know, because there's a direct connection between how much you're giving of yourself and how on fire for God you are, right? If you see someone and they're like, hey, I'm kind of backing out here. I don't want to get burnt out. I'm going to slow down. Their passion for God's going to go with it, right? You see that? I see that all the time. But the people that are the most on fire for God, they're the ones that are saying, yo, I want to do more. Like, let me serve in this area. Let me give of myself. Let me pour out. Let me fill someone else. Let me refresh somebody else. Those are the people that, man, they're on fire for God. It's a direct connection to how much you're putting first God's kingdom and how on fire you are for God. Because he that refreshes others, he himself, man, he'll stay refreshed all the days of his life. So don't make that mistake, you know. I had plenty of friends growing up, and even in Bible college, you know, even, you know, people when I was younger, when I was growing up here in this church, people that used to love God with all their hearts, full of fire, full of passion for the kingdom, and you look at their lives today, and it's all gone. They maybe don't even go to church. They don't serve the Lord anymore. They used to feel called to ministry. They're not definitely not doing that anymore. What happened? Like, what took place? You know, I think somewhere along the line, they just stopped pouring out. Stop saying, you know, I'm kind of getting tired of this. I'm getting weary. I'm getting tired. You know, I'm gonna take a break for a while. I don't want to get burnt out. You know, the number one way to make sure you never get burnt out, just keep pouring out. If you want to say, I don't want to be someone that gets burnt out. Do you want to know how you live a burnout-free life? Keep pouring. Keep giving of yourself. Keep refreshing others. Make it your mission. I'm going to fill somebody else up. I'm going to make sure that someone else is ministered to, and God will make sure, man, you stay ministered to. You stay full. You stay on fire for God. And when you get this in your spirit, man, it is good news. You start to understand. When I give myself to God, I'll never go bankrupt. I'll never get burned out. I'll never get dried up. And in fact, the more I give of myself, I've learned, you know what? My passion gets higher. I've learned my fire starts to burn brighter. That my vision, my dreams, they start to get wider and wider and wider. That's what I've learned. And that's going to be your story too. Amen. Amen. That, man, you give yourself. Just pour it out. God will make sure you get a flood in return. You'll be on fire for God all the days of your life. So maybe you'd say, hey, I feel like I'm in a dry season right now. I feel like things are dry. Who are you pouring into right now? Who are you making sure that they're ministered to? Who are you making sure that they're refreshed? Are you in a connect group? Are you serving somewhere? Because that's a promise from God, right? That's not like, that would be nice. That is a promise from Scripture. If you make it your mission to fill someone else, you'll stay filled. And so I just felt like someone needs to hear that today. That someone needs to hear, you know, don't give up. Don't stop pouring out. Don't say, I'm getting burnt out, I need to quit. Don't. Keep pressing on. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 9 says, whatever one sows, that will he reap. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And whatever one sows, that he will reap. So once again, a passage maybe you're used to hearing when it comes to finances and giving. But think about that passage like this. Whatever I want, I have to sow. Think about it like that. Whatever I want, so I want refreshing. I want to stay filled. I want to be on fire for God. I want refreshed. How does it make sense to sow? I need to take a step back. I need to make sure I don't get burned out. That doesn't make sense, does it? If I want refreshed, if I want filled, what do I need to sow? I need to sow refreshing someone else, making sure someone else is filled up, making sure someone else, they're getting ministered to. If I want refreshed, I got to sow refreshment. I've got to sow that into someone else's life. And then it says, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I think sometimes people quit right before due season comes. Sometimes people quit and they don't get to see their harvest. Don't miss your harvest. Don't miss what God's going to give you, because this is when you have to start applying your faith. Because maybe you're honest. You say, I'm there. I feel like I've been giving on myself. I've been pouring out. I've been doing all the stuff you talk about, but I don't feel like I'm seeing a harvest. I feel like I'm not seeing that coming back my way. Well, if you're in that situation, you have to start activating your faith and saying, well, you know what the Word of God says? The Word of God says, if I don't grow up and doing good, guess what? In due season, a harvest is going to come my way. So instead of saying, I need to back up and slow down because I'm not getting my harvest, you need to be saying, I need to start getting ready because I know a harvest is coming my way. I know a harvest is on its way because that's what God's word says. So I'm going to start preparing myself when that harvest comes. Don't miss your harvest. Don't give up. I just feel to speak, you know, due season is coming. Maybe someone needs to hear that today. Man, due season is at hand in your life, in your situation, in your ministry, whatever it is. Due season is here. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't stop pouring out. Keep going. Keep filling others. Keep pouring into others. Amen. So this is what I want to do. This is, you know, this is a message that there's a response to this. You know, it requires a response. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up, and they're going to sing one last song. And I want us to ask ourselves two questions. That if you have a notebook, or even, you know, maybe like your the thing they gave you, the, what do they call those things? Pamphlets? That's not right. Bulletin. There we go. 25-year-old in church. Bulletin? That's what they're called? Okay. Those things. Wow. Program. So, but this is what I'm going to invite us to do. If you have a notebook, if you have your program with you, two questions. Okay, two questions I want you to answer between you and God, okay? This is, no one's going to look at it, no one's going to, but this is in between you and God. First question is this: what are the bags of silver that God's entrusted into my life? What are the things that God has given me, the gifts, the talents? What are those things? Maybe you need to write it down. So this is the things that God has entrusted into my care. These gifts. It can be as simple as salvation. The Holy Spirit, right? He's entrusted us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? So whatever it may be, just write down, what are the bags of silver God's entrusted with me? And here's your second question I want you to answer. Between you and God, how am I using it? How am I, like verse 29 said of Matthew 25, those that use well what they've been given, they'll have an increase, they'll have an abundance. How am I using well the things that God has placed into my lap, that's placed into my care? And answer those questions. Spend some time, maybe just allow God to speak to you. And maybe, this is a time where you have to say, you know what, I'm not. Those bags of silver God's given me, I've found myself in a place where I've not been using them. I've maybe taken some steps back right now. And maybe you say, I'm not using them at all. I've never really served in the church. And maybe today your response would be, I need to serve. I need to pour out. I need to refresh others. I need to, get in a place where I'm making sure that I'm ministering to others. So as we go ahead and stand on our feet, we're going to play one more song. So a couple of ways you can respond. Maybe you can come to the altar in a moment, and maybe you say, I need to repent. God's entrusted me with these bags of silver, and I've done nothing with them. Maybe you need to come to the altar and say, God, forgive me, Father. I'm yours. I give myself to you completely. I'm your servant, God. Whatever you want to do in my life, God, I'm yours. Forgive me for being stingy. Forgive me for not pouring out. Forgive me for not giving myself. Maybe you need to come to the altar and lay that before the Lord and repent and turn from them. Maybe you need to say, today's the day. I'm getting on a serving team. I'm going to start, sharing the gospel with my friends. I'm going to start, giving to people in my church. I'm going to start refreshing others. Maybe whatever that response would be for you. And then here in a moment, we'll come back and we'll finish out our service. But just take a moment to worship the Lord, answer those questions, maybe find a spot here at the altar and give yourself wholly to the Lord. Let's worship.